Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio, your home for discussion and analysis of Cincinnati Reds baseball all year long. Now here's your host, Chad Dotson.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Red Leg Nation Radio. This is episode number 347. Of the world's most dangerous podcast. I'm your host, Chad Dotson. With me again this week, your friend and mine, the author of The Big 50, The Men and Moments That Made the Cincinnati Reds, my guy, Chris Garber. How are you, Chris?
Hiya, folks. I'm great, thank you.
Are you? You don't sound like you're great. You sound like you're mocking me.
I don't sound great? Oh, that doesn't sound. It kind of hurts. Oh, man. I feel good.
It usually takes at least 10, 15 minutes for this thing to go off the rails, but we're getting there quick tonight.
Here we go. Here we go.
So, you know, the Reds lost in the playoffs. I guess you probably read that news, Chris.
I did, because I barely got to watch any of it because it was all during the work hours, and I'm a dedicated employee who doesn't slack off.
Yeah, well, that's good. And plus, it was over like in the blink of an eye. And so, you know, you would have thought you might have other opportunities, but... Noon games, two noon games, not much there. Do we want to rehash the playoffs? I don't really want to, but if there's anything you want to say about it, I'm happy to hear it.
There's not much to say. I don't think they scored any runs.
Yeah, you didn't miss any runs scored. So, all right, well, in the week
six, I guess the upside is the Atlanta Braves appear to be really good because they just buzzsawed the Marlins as well as they did the Reds, so...
They both saw the Marlins. That's not exactly a high praise most years.
Yeah, well, take what you can get.
That's right. Hey, you got to play the team that's in front of you, right? No, I think the Braves are good. I mean, you know, we can mock the Reds' performance, and the Reds were awful offensively. But, you know, the Braves are a good team. And so, no shame. They could win the whole thing. But whatever. That was last season. I'm turning the page, man. We're going to 2021 already. Red Leg Nation Radio, home of Wait Till Next Year.
Love it. We're going to 2021.
Yeah. So, you know, some news this week.
That thing hits 88 miles an hour, you're going to see some serious baseball.
If we do hit 88 miles an hour, I'm going back to 70.
Well, that's good. You could go back 47 years today and watch Pete Rose and Bud Harrelson fight.
Okay, we could. A lot of winning after that, too, but you had fun with that chapter, I remember, in the book.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. The book, The Big 50.
The Big 50, where you can read about Pete Rose getting punched. All right. Anyway, we had some news this week that was a little unexpected to me, maybe not to you or the listeners, but I didn't see it coming. And the news, of course, was that Reds... President of Baseball Operations, Dick Williams, former GM who was elevated to President of Baseball Operations. He's been in the Reds front office for 15 years now, and he resigned. That's the word that was used. He resigned as President of Baseball Operations with the Reds. So, Chris, that's the word. He says he wants to spend time with his family and work on his family business. For a while, although I thought the Reds kind of were his family business, but he's got another family business, evidently.
Yeah, and I guess for people who don't really know the whole picture, Dick Williams' dad and uncle, I believe his dad and his uncle, or just his uncle, are prominent members of the Reds ownership group.
Yes.
And so when that group led by Bob Castellini took over the Reds in 2005?
Six.
It was the end of 2005, start of the 06 season or after? Okay.
Before 2006 season, yes.
Right. It was that winter. They brought in addition to Bob Castellini's son or sons to run the business side of it, Dick Williams came to the organization as a, what do you call it, a medium level?
Yeah, exec. I would say.
I mean, I think the idea was he would learn the baseball side of the business. He had a finance background, and I think he has a college education somewhere. But wasn't a baseball guy, but he came in with the ownership group to kind of learn the business. And he's a smart dude.
Oh, yeah.
So... Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, can we kind of talk about his reign before we talk about what happens next? I mean, because it's kind of – I want to talk about what he did for the team, and then I want to talk about if we think there's any ulterior, story here in the background.
What's resigned?
Let's go ahead and talk about that. He resigned. Do we buy that?
Well, that's a good question, right? I mean, like I said, it's a family business, so it's always going to be a little – tricky and strange when it's time for someone to exit a family business.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously the goodbye message was incredibly glowing.
The Reds have a habit of those parting messages that are
true.
Glowing.
Yeah. Fair. Even recently, but it was kind of celebratory. I mean, I think in a bit here, Trent Rosecrans, who I think has a fairly decent reputation for independence as a reporter, he seemed to take Dick Williams at his word and his story about the parting of ways. He talked about conversations they had during spring training, I think, and about how maybe it was – I don't know. I felt like they had talked at some point.
Yeah.
And talked about being away from their family and being away from their kids. And Williams' kids are not, not babies, but they're not out of the house. So I don't know. I think there's a little credence to it. I don't know if any of the local media has an incentive to push on this thing and to make the case that he was fired and pushed out. I don't know. It's. I mean, I think let's ask it this way: if his name was Dick Smith, and he'd been the GM, he came up in the organization 15 years ago, and he'd been hired as GM, and he'd taken over from Walt Jocketty and so forth and so on, would we be talking about firing him at this point?
I think so. It's unfair because I don't think Dick Williams did anything to deserve being fired. Let me say that. But I made a case, maybe the last time you and I talked, and I certainly made the case at Cincinnati Magazine that, given what we've seen this year, someone has to be on the hot seat. And I predicted it would be David Bell because Dick Williams has those family relationships.
David Bell's dad doesn't own the team.
He is part of the inner circle in the front office, David Bell's dad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nepotism central up there. I yelled at my dad earlier today for not being an independently wealthy owner of the Cincinnati Reds. How dare
he? You give me another. Yeah. After I flame out in one of your businesses, Dad, can I go around the other one?
But I think given the fact that the Reds have, they put some money out there and they did not perform this year. I mean, yes, they had a winning record. They sort of made the quote unquote playoffs this year, but this year was a disappointment. Was it an embarrassment? Like people were saying, and Dick Williams kind of pushed back on, no, not really an embarrassment, but the team continues to struggle. And I thought somebody had to at least be on the hot seat if ownership really cared about this, putting a championship team on the field. And let's be honest, I'm not sure they do care, but, I think that his seat would have been warm in any other organization.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it's a weird thing. I don't, for some reason I've stopped feeling like firing people is the same, it's like that. Let's do something.
Yeah.
I don't know that firing someone is anything that really helps you improve unless they're doing a bad job. You know what I mean? Or mm-hmm. or sometimes sure. the circumstances change where you say this guy has kind of – you need a change. And that's usually in a field manager. You know, the team – the team's younger than it used to be. The team's older than it used to be. Dusty Baker's not a good fit anymore, whatever.
Right.
But I think objectively, Dick Williams did a really good job at taking this organization from, frankly, a stubborn and somewhat silly to its own detriment phase under Walt Jocketty and really modernizing this team. A little too late, perhaps.
That's not his fault, though.
Getting them in an area. Right, right. He did. As soon as they let him have the reins, he took off. And I think that he made some really important changes to this organization that were absolutely necessary. Now, I don't know. Is it his fault that Joey Votto batted 226? Is it his fault that, you know, Eugenio Suarez and Mike Moustakas couldn't get above 800 OPS?
Yeah.
Is it his fault that Nick Senzel is made out of spun glass?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Probably not, though. No, I mean, maybe, should he have anticipated that was going to happen? I don't know. Maybe if he has
he did. I mean, he had five outfielders.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, five legitimate, able to play outfielders, and then he went out and got another one. I'm not talking about Matt Davidson.
We got Matt. Let me clarify what I was saying, because I feel like I came across as being unnecessarily harsh about Dick Williams. No way in the world do I think Dick Williams deserved to be fired. And I don't know that he was pushed out. I think that there's reason to suspect that, although the story he's giving is completely reasonable, because, you know, you're in that job, you're away from your family all the time. I mean, there's no question about that. His story is legitimate, and if it's absolutely the 100% truth, then... you know, I can buy it. But I think organizations, and maybe this comes from me becoming, over the last 10 years or so, a big fan of the European football. They call it the soccer here in the States. And you know, I see people force that all the time. And because there's an expectation that we got to win now. And that's never been the case here. So when I made the case that somebody should be on the hot seat, I meant really that I wanted to see ownership show the fan base that what happened this year is unacceptable. I didn't think that David Bell needs to be fired. A lot of people will disagree with that. I certainly don't think Dick Williams needs to be fired. Dick Williams has done more for this franchise in the last 5 years than probably anyone's done for the franchise off the field since who? I mean, really, if you think about how much he revolutionized everything from the ground up, from the minor leagues, spring training, and finally bring this team out of the dark ages analytically. I mean, you know, Walt Jocketty has had his successes with the Reds, but with St. Louis and with Cincinnati, you know, he was basically hostile to any kind of advanced thinking about baseball. And not that Walt Jocketty did everything awful, but he was actively hostile to analytics. Dick Williams.
Yeah, that's where I felt like he was just stubborn about it.
Yeah, yeah. And so you got to give Dick Williams credit. I mean, this team right now, the franchise, it's not showing up on the field. And at some point, it's got to show up in wins and losses. But this franchise is top to bottom a different franchise than it was 5 years ago. Hopefully, it results in wins at some point. But am I stating that correctly? Don't you think this is a completely different? I mean, they brought in Cal Bodie.
100%.
Yeah. That's Dick Williams, right?
100%. Now, I think so. I guess it could be Nick Kroll. But I think it's Dick Williams. I think Dick Williams very clearly seemed to be driving that strategy, or at least getting it done in a way that it didn't get done before. It's weird. As you say that, I think it does sound very implausible that someone would give up their dream job. It has to be the dream job, right? I mean, it would be my dream job.
Yeah.
For when you didn't have to. Now, the other side of that is the Reds haven't fired a lot of GMs. You know, I mean, I think the Castellini group hired Wayne Krivsky when they took over and gave him 3 seasons. And then it was Walt Jocketty.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dick Williams, I think, had 4 seasons where he was the head man. So I don't. I wouldn't think if it was again, you know, whatever Dick Jones that they would have necessarily fired him. But I also think that if Dick Williams did want to travel, he probably didn't have to. I mean, do you remember when we found out that Walt Jocketty had been working from his like vacation condo in Scottsdale yeah. for like big chunks of the season, like in 2016 or whenever that was. And I was like, what? Like nobody'd seen him and nobody even noticed or cared. That was weird. And so that tells me that maybe you don't necessarily have to go on the road with the team for, you know, every road trip through the summer.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
especially, I mean, I don't know. Anyway, he has to step down.
He has. And, you know, I've had Dick Williams is a friend of the podcast. I've had conversations with him occasionally. And we actually had a date that he was going to be coming on in spring training this year on the podcast just to kind of talk about what went on in the offseason, you know, all the spending and what they expected. And then, you know, what happened? The season didn't happen. And so he asked to kind of put it off until, because he didn't know what was going on at that point, you know. And so after the season ended, I reached out to him again last week. And this is something I told our friends on our Slack channel. But I reached out to him and said, hey, you know, you want to, we'd kind of kept touch about it. You want to reschedule that? Let's talk about, I said, well, the way I put it was, once everybody calms down a little bit, you want to come in and let's rationally talk about where we are and where we're going. And he didn't respond, which is rare. I mean, you know, not that I'm buddies with him, far from it, but he's usually pretty good about at least responding when I reach out. And he didn't, which, you know, I didn't think much of it, frankly. I'm some Yahoo talking on a podcast. But then the news comes out a couple of days later, you know, that he's stepping down. So, I don't know. Maybe he'll still come on.
Again.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the offer.
Let's get him on here.
Offer's still out there. Well, but
maybe you do a series. You get Krivsky and Dan O'Brien and Bob Quinn still around.
Bob, there's a point I wanted to make. You talk about they haven't really changed general managers much. They got rid of Krivsky too early, I thought, back then. We could go back and relitigate that one. Oh. But I thought
not
they
me.
Really interesting. I mean, well, he wasn't.
Oh, the day after the Majeski trade, I would have.
Yeah. Well, okay. It's a good point.
A fatal mistake in my book.
All right. Solid point. I'm not going to argue that one. But he brought in Bob Castellini, Reds owner. Bob Castellini brought in his buddy from St. Louis, and then followed that up with his co-owner's son. So I mean, it's not like. You know, I mean, he's not like he brought in somebody and put some pressure on him, you know, and then kicked him out. He's not George Steinbrenner.
Yeah. So we still have Nick Kroll.
Who I like, who I think is like Williams. I think he's bright. I think he has. I don't have really any problem with the baseball ops department now. Do you?
No, and I don't know what I'm talking about either. So.
Yeah, they still may be way behind everybody else.
Never forget that. never forget that I don't know anything. I mean, Nick Kroll. So I guess you want to go and segue into the conversation of like,
yeah.
who replaces Dick Williams or if he is.
Yeah, do they replace him? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I always Nick Kroll is officially the Reds general manager.
Yes.
And for decades, a general manager was the top baseball official in a major league baseball club.
Yeah. He was the boss of the baseball operations department. Yeah.
Yeah. There'd be a business guy probably. Maybe they report to the GM. Maybe they just report to ownership, but GM was it.
Mm-hmm.
And then somewhere in the last 10 years or so, this upper level president of baseball operations or something like that. I mean, maybe Sandy Alderson was the first guy to kind of move one level up from GM while still being in charge of the GM. I don't know.
But pretty much every team has it now, right? I mean, that's.
I don't know. Do they? I don't know if they do. I know, you know, a lot of them do, but I've been taking it as. Was Theo Epstein one who did that too? When he went to. When he went to the Cubs.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. I know. I always take it as like, it's a way for a team now to hoard talent, to take a promising younger executive who may need a little bit of experience in one way or the other, call them the general manager while not losing their existing top guy.
There was some talk in that respect with Nick Kroll at the time when that happened, wasn't there? Do you remember that?
Right, right. I don't know. I don't know if we assumed that or if it was actually said out loud, like, this guy needs to be a GM, and even if GM is a little bit of a deflated title from what it used to be, he's going to go somewhere else and get it.
Yeah, and we want to keep him here. Yeah, I don't think it was publicly stated, but I think that was the speculation at the time, and I think it's reasonable to think that. And I'm glad they did it. I like Nick Kroll, but I guess what you're saying is, and don't let me put words in your mouth, but there's really not any urgency to necessarily fill that position. If you trust Nick Kroll to do the job as general manager, that's the job and has been the job for years, frankly. Is that where you're going?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, exactly. And you know what's a weird thing? I'm just looking back to see if there are comments on when Nick Kroll was hired, and I can't find any. But what the really weird thing is, they promoted him on May 10th, 2018.
I remember that. It was weird.
Like, it was like
the timing.
It was like 3 weeks into the season. They were terrible. They'd already fired Brian Price. Nobody was buying baseball books, and Nick Kroll got promoted.
I remember that. The halcyon days of early 2018.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember at the time also thinking that I remember the conversation. I do remember the conversation vividly about, you know, Kroll is a bright, young, up-and-coming guy, and, you know, it might be a way to keep him on the team. I also remember it being a – and this is the cynical side of me thinking – well, maybe they're garbage again, and they're trying to show us that it's not acceptable. So they're, you know, shuffling deck chairs on the Titanic, as they say. And man, they've shuffled them every way you can in the last few years. They've done a great job of moving those deck chairs around.
Yeah. Nick Kroll, it says here, has been with the organization since 2003.
I think right out of college.
So he predates. Well, he worked for the A's for a couple years.
Oh, that's right. I think he was like an intern with the A's, though.
Yeah, it says here in the story, he's a bat boy, an intern, and Billy Beane's secretary.
There you go. He and MC Hammer were bat boys. Same time, I think.
That's right. That's right. That's probably. anyway, he predates the Castellinis, which is interesting.
That is. I think he tried to walk on at LSU, I believe, if I remember his story correctly. So, you know, it's a guy that loved baseball and decided he wanted to get into baseball somehow when he realized he wasn't going to be as a player. When I realized I wasn't going to be a Major League Baseball player, I just went on to seventh grade and went about my day. He decided to try to get into the game. And,
he got an internship with, the Cardinals, I believe. Organization.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. There you go. So anyway,
good for him. He seems like a smart guy. He seems like a competent guy. You know, I don't know any reason why they got to bring somebody in to slap on top of him.
Yeah, and I'm comfortable.
You know, it gives us something to talk about.
I don't know in terms of his ability to, you know, his relationships with other teams or, you know, I don't know anything of that. I know that in terms of what he believes as a in terms of baseball, I feel pretty confident that he understands the direction that the Reds need to go that they weren't before. But now I don't know whether he's good enough to run the whole baseball ops. There's no way for us to know that. What if they do get a new president of baseball operations? I hear that you have some suggestions for that.
Well, I don't have suggestions, but I saw that Bobby Nightingale in the Cincinnati Inquirer has put together a list of some candidates. I think you'll see a pattern of his candidates once you start going through the list. But if you want me to share a few of his list, I think it could be an interesting conversation.
Please do. But first, am I on the list?
Yeah.
Is my name on the list?
I haven't got to the bottom of it. It's not alphabetical. Dombrowski.
Right, go ahead.
No, maybe in the comment thread. So right. The first name is an interesting one. I don't know if it's realistic, but Michael Hill, who is the Marlins president of baseball operations. He was their GM from 08 to 13, and he's been the president of baseball operations for the last 7 years.
Got promoted.
So you might think, why would you take a guy who's been running a team for 13 seasons and has just won, quote unquote, playoff, game this year. Why would you do something like that? Well, he is a kind of highly respected guy, and he's kind of an interesting guy. But he went to he's from Cincinnati.
Oh,
and he went to Country Day School and played baseball and football at Harvard.
Okay. Oh, so smart guy.
So anyway, smart guy, very smart guy. He's an African American guy, which I think if the Reds are looking to diversify some of their leadership team, that could be something you might want to think about. He's one of just four minorities who are heads of baseball operations right now. But, you know, apparently his contract is expiring at the end of the season, so that makes it plausible.
He's a free agent.
As Bobby Nightingale notes, he's been a part of multiple roster overhauls because of payroll constraints.
So
that sentence reminds me of like the old 1970s back of the baseball card cartoons, but like the saddest possible version.
Right.
You know, like in the off season, Ed Ott works as a carpenter.
That's his cartoon on the back of his Topps card. I love it.
Yeah, it's just got him. It's just got him like, I don't know, the sack of money he's taking back into a vault or something. I don't know how you do it. Or he's laying people off in a cartoon format.
Plenty of experience working for penny-pinching owners who refuse to win.
Maybe he's standing there with his pockets turned inside out.
Yeah, I think I can see
his arms out.
Looks like the Monopoly guy.
What's up?
Oh, man,
yeah,
I love it.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's one. Michael Hill, I mean, again, I don't know that. If somebody came to me and said, guess what? The Reds got the guy who's been running the Marlins for the last 13 years. I don't think my initial reaction would be cool.
Yeah. Doesn't inspire confidence.
But who knows?
Maybe.
All right. Candidate number two, Vice President of Baseball Operations for the New York Yankees, Tim Nehring. Do you know any facts about Tim Nehring?
I know one. Is he from Middletown?
What's that? Close. Graduate of LaSalle High School.
Oh,
Tim Nehring.
I'm sensing a pattern.
In Cincinnati. Now, how does he live in Cincinnati and serve as vice president of baseball operations for the New York Yankees?
Well, isn't like
that's interesting.
You know, wasn't Walt Jocketty he's still vice president of baseball operations, I think. Mm. Or no, maybe he's like an advisor to the.
Yeah. It's weird. Isn't it weird? Some of these jobs, and again, we talk about how, you know, the travel and all the workload, and some of these jobs in baseball are serious, hardcore, working 75 hours a week jobs. And then some of them that have very similar titles appear to be just like no-show jobs.
Yeah. Maybe zoom in once a month.
Where, you know, you may get, you get a call. Hey, I'm thinking about, you know, trading for Brian Goodwin. What do you know about him? Yeah. And you have a 5-minute conversation.
Yeah, I think it's
anyway.
Well, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. We got to get.
Oh, no. Nehring is well respected throughout the industry, and teams have shown interest in interviewing him for top front office positions in the past.
Ooh, and
The interesting thing is he worked for the Reds from 1999 to 2007.
Yep.
Including as a special assistant to the GM. I don't remember the circumstances under which Tim Nehring left the Reds organization. But he did leave the Reds organization while the Castellinis were owners.
He did. And
he's been gone for 13 years.
Yeah, I don't remember the circumstances either, but he was around the Reds when they were not great. Although that's everybody that's been around the Reds, actually, now that I think about it. So that's...
right, yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, so anyway, I thought that was interesting. Like, oh, this guy that he worked for the Reds in the past. I'm like, yeah, these guys either fired him or didn't do what it took to keep him. So you've got another guy here named Matt Arnold, who is the Brewers' assistant GM and was a finalist for the Pirates job last year. He worked for the Reds from 2003 to 2006 as assistant director of pro scouting and then became the Tampa head of pro scouting for several years.
Well, that's actually
– so
Tampa hired him as head of pro scouting. That's actually a point in his favor probably, right?
Probably. And
Tampa
that's
knows
probably
what
a promotion.
Doing.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Tampa knows what they're doing. So, you know, that may be one where the Reds just kind of missed. He was in the transition. He got an offer and left. But his claim to fame is he knows how to work in a mid-sized market.
Oh, there you go. Look at that. He's qualified.
Yeah. Now, the next guy on this list is a guy I loved. I mean, everything he did was gold as far as I'm concerned. But he left the organization 6 years ago, and that's Johnny Almaraz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, he's the guy who signed Johnny
Cueto
and Adam Dunn.
Mm-hmm.
But and also when he was with the Braves, Ronald Acuna Jr. and Ozzie Albies.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So I don't know if he was the scout for them, but he was a scouting director. But anyway, how you know, he left the Reds too, right around the time that the Castellinis took over. So I don't know if he's a real candidate for that either. But
but let me ask you this: do we know it? All right, look, I let my subscription to the Inquirer lapse. I got to admit, but
it's a freebie. It's a freebie.
Oh, it's a freebie. Okay, well, are we filling column inches here? Or I mean,
well, let me give you the rest of the list, and you tell me.
Okay.
Dave Dombrowski, Jim Hendry, Dan Jennings. That yeah. seems to be like the definition of filling a list.
It is.
Then there's some guys I've never heard of, but, you know, whatever, who cares? All these are guys like assistant GMs and stuff. I mean, I think if they bring in a guy who's an assistant GM, Nick Kroll leaves.
You think?
Don't you?
Or I Nick mean, Kroll gets promoted to director of baseball operations.
Well, they would have done that. Wouldn't they have done that and then let Nick Kroll hire a guy?
I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know what's going on in this front office. It's a disaster.
Dave Dombrowski's not going to come work for Nick Kroll.
No. No. I think they don't fill the position. That's my
vote. I don't either. That's my vote. And I'm cool with that.
It's fine. I'm fine. Yeah, who knows? They just got to spend some money this offseason. They won't. Will they?
Well, I hope they do, because they're going to have some holes now. Let me tell you, my opinion is that Anthony DeSclafani cannot fill Trevor Bauer's shoes.
I think you may be correct. Shoes. Unless they are, you know, dance shoes, because disco could pro. No, that really didn't come out like I was hoping. Yeah, I tried.
I'm like the low person on DeSclafani, I think.
Yeah, he didn't look good this year. He didn't look good this year. I mean,
everybody looked good this year.
Well, that's true.
Major League Baseball. Yep. And he managed to get a 7.22 ERA. That's hard.
Number one, not ideal going into a free agent market. Number two.
Is he a free agent? I thought he was signed for one more year.
No. He's gone. I mean, he's a free agent. Yeah.
Oh, my apologies.
Yeah, so
I thought he was.
He'll come
back
cheap
for 1 year.
Let's talk just quickly about the off season, and then let's get into some viewer mail questions.
Do it. Let's get into it.
There we go. The biggest questions I think we need to right now that we need to decide on it are Trevor Bauer and Nick Castellanos. Seems like to me Trevor Bauer's a free agent, and he had some comments this week that, you know, he likes Derek Johnson, the Reds pitching coach, and he likes the Reds, and you know. He didn't close the door.
He's had a lot of comments. No, he hasn't. He is in the process of opening every possible door.
Not true.
I mean,
there's one door. There's one door.
Houston is the only one.
Houston, he has unequivocally closed that door.
Okay.
But, you know.
Well, he was talking to the Braves yesterday about how they could use a good pitcher, and the Yankees today. And, I mean, he's just enjoying the heck out of this free agency thing.
He tweeted a picture of boarding pass. He's flying to Boston for some reason. He's like, hey, Red Sox, you interested? We can talk. Now, they can't talk yet, because you can't talk to free agents until the World Series is over, but he's going to enjoy this, and I just can't see, after the season he had, if anybody's willing to spend money out there. Do you see him coming back? I don't.
No. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he's just crazy enough to do anything.
That's true in every way. We have the Driveline Baseball guy now. You know, Trevor Bauer's worked out of this Driveline Baseball and you know, run by Kyle Bodie, and he's in the Reds organization now. So, you know, maybe that's, and he does like Derek Johnson. So, you know, I mean, it's not unreasonable to think he'll return. I just can't. I know that we have the pandemic economy in baseball now, and there's some thought that teams aren't going to spend, but I just believe somebody will fork out money for him. I mean,
somebody. It only takes one. That's the thing that people always forget. It only takes one.
And, you know, if he is insistent on just signing a 1 year contract, teams are going to be even more interested in going after him, because I'm not laying out $200 million, you know, for however many years. I'll lay out whatever 1 year, and if it works, great. If it doesn't, then, well, that's okay too.
I mean, there's almost no amount of money. I think we talked about this before. There's almost no amount of money that I wouldn't pay him for 1 year.
Yeah.
If I had a team to go with him.
Okay. Well, shouldn't the Reds be that team? I mean, we can talk about whether Bob Castellini is going to be willing to spend, but the Reds have to go all out for this guy because, I mean, the pitching's not going to be as good as this past year anyway in 2021. And there's no way they can be that good for a full season.
Right.
But then you drop that guy out of it, and then you got another hole to fill. And if you fill it with signing Anthony DeSclafani, then,
Why did I just make the sound of Sideshow Bob stepping on a rake?
Right, yeah. I'm going to make sure that you tweet. I'm going to tweet that at you when Bauer signs with, whoever, Atlanta.
Oh, that was when DeSclafani re-signed with the Reds. Sorry. I think that's a bigger blow to me.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they've got to get offense. So here's the interesting question. And I don't know. We can kind of look at some of these. I think this is all, Mark Sheldon has a nice little piece asking some questions like this. But if you compress a couple of his questions, what do you do about the offense? And do you start Tyler Stevenson and Jose Garcia next year? I like the idea of starting those guys. I am not sure, especially with Garcia more than Stevenson, that handing over those positions to youth is the answer to improve the offense.
In a vacuum, I love the idea of letting those guys play. But they have to improve the offense, and so many other places around the diamond are already spoken for, especially if Nick Castellanos comes back, if he doesn't opt out of his contract. I am desperately in love with what I think Jose Garcia's career can be for the Reds. I think that Nick Kroll needs to be out knocking on every door trying to improve the shortstop position to get somebody in there that can hit. And same with catcher. I love Tyler Stevenson, but
it's a lot to bet on a rookie catcher hitting. I mean, the number of rookie catchers that have really hit are probably on one hand, right?
Sure, absolutely.
I mean, it's Bench and Piazza, and I don't know, Joe Mauer hit as a rookie too. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, really. So if you hand him over to Stevenson and Garcia, who I think both of us would agree, we love these guys. I mean, they have a future. But if you hand those two positions over to those guys, then what you really have to do is kind of hope everybody else improves. Everybody else does better.
Yeah.
It was bad luck.
You have a saying about hoping, I think.
Yeah. I mean,
it ain't a strategy.
We can hope as fans, but isn't that what you'd have to do if you commit to those two? And not that they've committed, but if that's what happens, that's all they've got is hope.
I think, but some of it's not as much hope as expectation that guys are going to do what's on the back of their baseball card.
True. Some of them.
You know what I mean?
Suarez.
Right. So Suarez, Moustakas.
I think if you look at Moustakas, I think he kind of did this year what he's going to do.
You think a 108 OPS is kind of his
OPS
what
plus?
You should expect?
Yeah, I think so.
Right. Sorry. Well,
I mean,
you're right. That is exactly what he does.
Yeah.
You're right. Okay. So the question is, I'm convinced on Shogo Akiyama. Maybe I'm dumb and maybe I'll be proven wrong. I am not at all worried by his season long numbers. I think he kind of figured it out.
Suarez and Akiyama are the two guys that I am very confident that they're going to hit better next year, significantly better than what they did this year. Those are the only two, but those are the two that I really feel like are going to hit better.
I mean, Akiyama was in September, 317, 456 on base percentage. That plays.
Yeah.
Even if he can't get the ball into the infield.
That's okay. He gets on base.
I'm fine. Yeah. I mean, that'll play. But, I think you can – we're probably past expecting much out of Joey Votto. I'm past expecting anything out of Nick Senzel.
Yeah, that's the question I was going to ask you that I didn't really want to go to. But, I mean, do the Reds go into the season counting on Nick Senzel to be the guy that he can be? I think we all agree that he can be. But are we going to hope that he stays healthy?
He's going to turn 26 years old next year. And he has had over 400 plate appearances one season as a professional athlete. Mm-hmm. He has had over 300 plate appearances twice. Now, you know, I'm not going to, I guess we can't blame him for COVID, but or for the pandemic, but he still only played less than half the games this year.
Yeah. Nah.
So, and he hasn't hit when he played. I mean, I'm not making this up. You know what I mean? I wish it was otherwise, but.
Yeah, I mean, he's still the guy that performed on the minor league level, but at some point you got to.
He's got a 305 on base percentage as a major leaguer. And he's. How much older than Ronald Acuna is he?
3 years.
Yeah. Like, yeah, almost 3.5 years. No, that's wrong. 2.5 years. But anyway, I mean, the point is he's not a kid.
Right.
He's old enough that it's time to be producing like a 26-year-old player. And when you're going into 26 and you haven't done anything yet, it's pretty silly to expect that you will.
Yeah. I mean, I think everyone agrees that he can. That, you know, I've not given up hope that he can be the guy we thought he was going to be, because I think there are, you know, circumstances. He's been injured. But when he's not been injured, he's not performed the way we expected either. So, again, if you're going in just kind of hoping, I think that's not – I don't know how you – they've got to go out and get somebody. What I maintain is that they really need to get – they need one. I'm going to use the term elite. But what I really mean – I don't know if that's the right word, but they need one big-time hitter in the lineup. And I don't know where they go and get that. But look at all the teams that are in the playoffs now. There's at least one guy, and a lot of teams, 2, 3, 4 guys. Look at the Braves had three guys better than the best guy in the Reds lineup. The Reds have a bunch of guys that are either average or slightly above average at their best. But they don't have any hammers. Joey Votto's not that guy anymore. So I think they got to get a hammer. And I don't know where you go get one of those. That's hard to do. So that's what concerns me about this offseason. Am I off base?
Well, no, not at all. I mean, maybe Cleveland will be willing to trade Lindor now. He's only got 1 year left on his contract.
Yeah, I'd go all
and
out.
And that's an elite bat who's coming off a subpar 60 games.
At a position that the Reds need.
Right. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know who the guy is. I'm not on the list of possible candidates for GM, so I'm not responsible for having a list. So. But I 100% agree. They did a good job last year adding what I would call B, if you're doing it, you know, getting a grade. Moustakas and Castellanos are B level players. Maybe B plus.
Yeah, B plus. You may have argued A minus with Nick Castellanos, but you know, yeah, good players.
Well, I mean I consider Suarez an A minus. You know what I mean? Even when he's good. He's probably an all-star, but he's not an MVP candidate, really.
Right, right.
I don't know. I mean, I guess he had finished in the top 20 the last 2 years. But anyway, you know, they need another A player. They need another A hitter, not a B hitter, not a B-minus hitter.
Yeah, if they don't put a guy that can finish top 15 in the MVP voting in this lineup, we're just hoping that everybody gets better. Across the board, and I'm not.
And they're not young. They're not young.
Yeah, they're all going to be a year older next year. That's my math's correct.
Well, I mean, if you look at their top 10 guys in plate appearances, Senzel's the youngest one, and then there's Winker, and then everyone else is above their past their prime.
Yeah,
you know, Castellanos and Suarez are 29 next year. Shogo, Moustakas, Galvis. Votto, obviously. I mean, Tucker Barnhart's going to be 30. Casale's 32. They somehow quickly got very old.
Yeah, I've talked about, you know, hoping that some of these guys do better, and the back of their baseball card indicates they will. But the other part of that is that we got to hope that Jesse Winker continues to hit like he did in a 60 game stretch. We got to hope that the pitchers pitch just as well. You know, there's. I think there's a trap we fall into sometimes with assuming that the players that did well are going to keep doing that well.
Yeah.
And so if everybody else does better, yeah.
Yeah, that's always – diversion from the mean always goes one way
right.
in your mind.
Well, because
the guys who had good years will have good years again. Yeah, well.
All right. Listen, we've gone long as we always do. So let's try to run through a few viewer mail questions before it gets too late here, if you don't mind.
Viewer mail.
First, can we thank our newest member of the team, of the family at Red Leg Nation Radio's Patreon, patreon.com/redlegradio. Burke Franklin joined us this week. Burke Franklin. As we always do, we pick a position for them on our beer league softball team. With Burke Franklin, I'm getting some Burke Badenhop vibes. What do you think?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. That's not nice.
That wasn't
but,
nice.
I think he is a really effective high strikeout setup man.
There you go. Yeah. I agree. Is he a lefty in the Loogie era?
No. I don't think so. He's kind of a right-hander with like a three-quarter arm slot.
Okay. Like a seventh, eighth inning guy. You can always dependable to get it to your closer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not quite like the rubber arm of Scott Sullivan, but that kind of profile.
There you go. I like it. Burke Franklin, welcome to the family. Thank you so much for joining us at patreon.com/redlegradio. First question comes from Nathan Connor. Nathan says, there have been past winters where the market for free agents was held up by a big free agent, most recently Machado and Harper. Club finances league-wide will be the obvious question mark this year. Which team or class of teams do you think will be the ones to set the rates for this winter? Will it be the big budget teams like the Dodgers and Yankees? To me, they seem like outliers whose business won't trigger any current rates for the majority of teams. Or is there a certain mid-market team that has needs that you think will be on the forefront of free agency who will set the standards everyone else will use for negotiating contracts? I'm going to answer this.
Beyond my pay grade, man.
If you disagree with this, let me know. The answer is, okay. I don't think anyone knows because it's unlike anything we've ever seen. I mean, I think, Dodgers and Yankees are probably going to keep spending. Why wouldn't they? But maybe not. I don't know what the bottom line looks like.
I don't know anything, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the Padres could be like, this is awesome. Let's go crazy. Or they could be like, guess what, guys? We just spent all of our money and have no money for the next 3 years. I really don't know.
What I think that the Reds could kind of, it's not going to be the Reds, but some team could say, you know what? We're talking about market inefficiencies. This year, the inefficiency is most teams are not dipping into the free agent market. Let's go crazy. I don't know. I don't think it'll be the Reds, but somebody could do that. Charles Zollers asks, what would be your free agent pitch to Trevor Bauer? Would it be something more along the lines of, we have Skyline Chili, or that we have the most dangerous podcast? What would be your free agent pitch? Yeah, I see what mine would be. Here is my Brinks truck I'm backing up to your front door.
Yeah. I'm not going to... My pitch to Trevor Bauer is, I respect you enough not to screw around with you and not to be talking about chili or, how fun Jim Day is. Here's your cash.
Yeah, that's the only pitch to make.
Take it.
I think cold, hard cash. Boy, that guy, he's been saying for years he's going to do 1-year contracts. Did he set himself? I mean, obviously we don't know because of the pandemic economy, but in a normal year, no one has ever set himself up for a better free agent period than Trevor Bauer did this year.
No, and it would be insane. I mean, I think if I were him, I would take the paintball to the groin and sign the six year, $230 million deal that is probably out there somewhere.
Yeah, I think so too. He's got a good negotiating ploy with this 1-year contract nonsense. But man, if somebody comes to the table with that, take it. All right, Joe Farsing asks, if you had to eat one meal every day for the rest of your lives, what would it be? I got a roll with strip steak, medium rare, baked potato with sour cream and cheese, salad with ranch, and a huge glass of milk.
How often is he going to eat that?
Every day.
Or is it?
For the rest of his life.
That's not going to work.
But you've only got to eat one meal every day for the rest of your life.
I see. So I guess you only get one. All right, so like a protein shake is probably a bad choice.
Maybe. I don't know what he's saying. I mean, I don't know if he's saying you only get that one meal or if you had to.
Or he's got to eat it three times. He's got to eat that 3 times a day.
I don't know. I like that. I don't much care for the sour cream or the milk, but the rest of that sounds pretty good.
I mean, it sounds good. I couldn't eat that more than once a month.
So what's your meal?
What are you thinking? Well, what I could eat every day and I could eat an insane amount of it every day, so I'd be good, is sushi. There's essentially no limit to how much sushi I can eat once I sit down at a table. It's just financial. That's the only limit on how, like, I don't know what it is. Like, it literally doesn't go into my stomach. I think it just goes, like, I don't know, down my leg or something, because I just can keep eating it and eating it and eating it.
Really?
It's something.
Love you some sushi, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a
yeah,
sushi
it doesn't
guy.
Even have to be that good. I mean, I live in Ohio, so it doesn't even have to be great sushi. But
it's Ohio sushi's even good enough.
And, you know, like, not gas station. You're not gas station sushi. Not grocery store sushi, unless it's rare. But you know, a real sushi restaurant. Let's go.
Yeah, I don't know. My answer is, although I will say that a New York strip, medium rare, it sounds awfully, awfully good to me. So sushi, not so much. I keep trying. Most recently, when I was in Hong Kong last year. I tried again, and I can't deal with the sushi, man.
Oh, well.
When I go to Tokyo, I'll try it there and see, because that's really
good
sushi.
Go to that one guy who's going to give you one thing.
Yeah. Hero Dreams of Sushi. About? Oh, yeah. The Netflix documentary, Hero, whatever.
Yeah.
Andrew Scott Wills, really good question here. Will the Reds' payroll go up or down this offseason? What do you think?
Down.
I think that it won't.
What was it? What is it?
I don't know, but I don't remember exactly, but it was 17th highest payroll in baseball.
Oh, yes, here it is. So, according to this Baseball Reference, $136 million in committed contracts for this year. Next year, they have $93 million in obligations. I don't believe that counts any of the ARB guys.
Right. Does it count Castellanos, I wonder, who has an opt out?
It does. Okay. It does not. It counts no options, but no, but not the buyout.
So,
I mean, it's basically Votto, Suarez, Moustakas, Castellanos, and Sonny Gray.
Yeah,
and then oh, I forgot Wade Miley.
Yahoo!
Yay!
I hate to be this cynical, but I don't see any way it goes up. I mean, maybe it'll stay the same.
I don't either. I mean, it doesn't have to go up, truthfully. You know what I mean? They got money coming off the books that they can spend, I guess.
Okay. Do they want to be champions or not?
Well, true, true.
I mean, you know, at some point, play on the same playing field as other teams.
No, I get it. I'm just saying, like, it doesn't necessarily have to net in his increase. If they go out and get a really good pitcher.
Yeah.
You know, that they could get for less than $17.5 million they're paying Trevor Bauer. Like you said. Anyway, right. I think it goes down. I don't think that's – I guess my point is this. I think it goes down, but it's not guaranteed to – oh, I take that back. Let me forget everything I just said. There's another line on this page that talks about arbitration cases, and they've got a few guys like Archie Bradley and Michael Lorenzen, who are going to make pretty good money in ARB.
Wow, Bradley's
Bryce Iglesias.
Bradley's still in arbitration. Okay, yeah, they're probably going to. Yeah, they're probably going
to
get.
So this projects them to 143. So it projects them to go up, just with what they've the guys they already have.
Yikes!
Well then, so yeah, I think it's going to go up.
That's what I said though. If they want to compete, it goes up. If they don't want to compete, it
Well, if it go, I mean, they have to get rid of guys who are currently on the roster if they want it to go down.
I hear Twitter saying Joey Votto.
Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, you've changed my mind. I was going to say that I don't necessarily expect it to go down or up, but I was pretty sure it's not going to go up. It's not going to go up substantially, I don't think.
No. Well, I tell you what, you know, when we've talked before about that out of the park baseball, that computer simulation game. And after I finished the 2020 season, I got orders from on high to reduce the payroll. And it was really, really hard for the 2021 Reds coming down from 135 or whatever. I mean, you're left with nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Castellanos even screwing with your game.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
all right, we got to run through some of the rest of these. We got to get out. Hooper Powell has two questions. I'm just going to ask the first one here. It was a tough week and we lost one of the best guitarists in the world. Do you have Eddie Van Halen as one of the best guitarists? Chris, you have any thoughts on that?
Yes.
The answer is yes to you.
Correct.
Yes. I don't have a strong opinion about Eddie Van Halen. I was never a Van Halen guy growing up.
I enjoyed it. You know, I enjoyed it when I was a kid. I was not nearly into it as some of the other guys I knew in college.
Same with me. Were, yeah.
I who just... were off the deep end a little bit, but yeah, he's clearly a genius guitarist.
But just in terms of his actual, you know, musicianship, is he better than Dave Matthews?
I thought Dave Matthews played the bongos.
Dude, really? Come on.
Does he really play guitar? Is he the guitar player in his band?
He's not the guitar player, but he is a guitar player.
Oh, see, I don't want to, I know this is going long, but that's a thing that I need to talk to like an actual musician about. Like, what really is when the lead singer picks up a guitar and you look in the band behind him, there's like two other dudes already playing guitars. Is it even turned on? Like, is it, is anything musically happening in this, like when they do that? Like, you ever see those, like, you know, the tributes that they have to so-and-so or the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, there's like 14 guitars on stage.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Like
playing
are
the
they
weight,
all playing the same notes. Yeah. 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 Are they all playing the same notes? I don't know. We need the freak bass or somebody to weigh in on this.
Probably. I'll say this about Dave, just to sort of defend Dave.
No, here we go.
He's not, you know, Tim Reynolds is the guitar player in that band. But I've been picking around my guitar for 20 years and I can play some stuff, but man, some of the stuff he does is, I don't know. Why has he changed chords so much? He's not awful is my perspective. He's not Eddie Van Halen. Dave Matthews. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm sorry. He's better than,
well, how do you know it's him and not the other guy?
Well, you can tell. He plays his acoustic usually, and the other guy's got his electric.
Okay. All right.
And all I'm saying is this. Everybody we've just mentioned is better than Bruce Springsteen. Nathan Sturworth asks, do you think it was a mistake to fire Don Long, Reds hitting coach Don Long, after the 2018 season? During his time as hitting coach, Scooter, Duvall, Cozart, Suarez, Bruce, and Votto all had all-star seasons. Since his departure, our hitters are underachieving instead of overachieving. Now, I think that's a...
Scooter.
Scooter, yes. Scooter. He got the last chapter Scooter. In our book.
Does Scooter really have an all-star season?
Sure he does, yeah. Scooter was the man. He hit 4 home runs one game. Did you know that?
I heard about that, yeah.
Yeah. The question is not unreasonable, but my difficulty in answering it is that I'm really not entirely sure what a hitting coach does. And what... Once you get to the major leagues, whether they have – and pitching coach you can kind of see, because pitching is a cerebral thing, and maybe hitting is as well, but I'm not entirely sure what hitting coaches do. Do you have a better answer than that, Chris?
No, I was going to say that. I think they could probably fire the hitting coaches entirely and maybe not notice. Don Long has since leaving the Reds moved to the Baltimore Orioles, where he spent he's a hitting coach for that team for the last 2 years.
They've been a really good hitting team recently.
No. He was reunited with Jose Iglesias, though.
I thought we were going to get away without ever mentioning Jose Iglesias again. Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that's a reasonable question. I'm not sure that a hitting coach really has much impact on...
Those guys know what they're doing.
Yeah, by the time
they've got their own hitting coaches.
They really are.
Yeah.
By the time they get to that level. So I think it was a mistake for the rest to fire Dick Pohl as pitching coach.
Fair.
How many dicks are they going to run out of town?
Thank you, folks. This has been Red Leg Nation Radio.
Sorry. All right. Quickly. Risto Neely.
Tom's gone.
Fom is gone. Risto Neely says, once again, both kings of popular culture on the same show. Risto, listen, my man, I don't know what you think the kings of popular culture are, but people who have watched The Simpsons too often don't really qualify.
And not even any Simpsons since like 1995.
Right. First 10 years of Simpsons, man, we're there.
First, like 6 years of The Simpsons. So,
yeah.
All right.
His question is, what's your favorite Western movie theme song? His choice is the theme from Rio Bravo. I'm telling you. You got one?
Well, let's see. You know, I don't. Yeah, somehow the other day, my son was like, "Hey, what's that song?" And he started singing it, and it was the theme from Bonanza. And my son is 10 years old, And I think Bonanza's been off the air for like 60 years. So I don't know where that came from. But that's a good theme song.
It is.
I'm a Magnificent Seven guy. So that's the theme for me.
I think about a story that one of my buddies tells about when he was in high school. And there was some guy that, you know, sometimes high school kids are not nice to fellow high schoolers. And there was some guy that thought he was he would wear a cowboy hat occasionally. And, yeah, he just, that was his thing. You know, teenage boys have sometimes that's their style. Well, every time this guy would walk down the hall, I wish I could do the whistle, but he would do one of his friends would do the Sergio Leone, you know.
The good, bad, and the ugly.
Yeah, you know, that little whistle that you can do, you know, kind of. There you go. Right. That one? It cracks me up to think about.
Copyright.
This guy walking down the hallway and somebody at the other end just.
Just a dude and some high school dude in late 80s Virginia was just whistling out gunslinger.
Yeah.
Gunslinger themes in the hallway.
It's interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. The guy ended up working with me for a long time, and he's now a judge in the Commonwealth of Virginia, this guy. So I don't know if he does it from the bench though. All right, Kyle Kapler, you give me three questions. I'm going to pick one at random. Actually, two of them are the same. So which Dick Williams-led trade was the best and which was the worst? He says the best was Sonny Gray. The worst was the Yasiel Puig trade. I guess from the Dodgers. So
yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to criticize that one. I thought that was the right move at the time. I mean, maybe it wasn't, but
yeah,
I think that was a business trade as much as a baseball trade. I think strategically, they had to make some kind of a splash at that point.
Yeah, I think it was a lot of PR there, right? And it helped the team, but PR-wise.
Yeah.
What
was your favorite?
He mentioned Sonny Gray, which is a fantastic trade, getting Sonny Gray for a bag of magic beans.
The Castillo's got to be better, though.
That's where I was going to go. Luis Castillo was Dick Williams, and they got him for Dan Straley, who they picked up on waivers.
Yeah.
So I think Straley.
Oh, you know what? I think my favorite Dick Williams move was sold Scott Schebler to the Atlanta Braves.
Just eliminating him, getting someone to actually pay U.S. legal tender.
Yeah, I don't know. That's funny. I just saw that in the transaction list and thought it sounded funny. Sorry, Scotty.
There you go. Yeah, no, I got no issues with Scott Schebler. He had a good year with the Reds. Oh, my gosh. All right, we're just going to run through.
Oh, a bad trade. The Puig's probably the only bad one that I can think of. I'm sure there were others, but they were all flyers, right? They were all like, you know.
Do you remember a deal where you're like, oh my gosh, that was horrible? I know. I mean, people.
No, because they were in rebuild mode. So it was like trade away guys too late for a flyer of a prospect who may be good and maybe not.
Yeah. Or, you know, some people said like traded Taylor Trammell for Trevor Bauer. I mean, people hammered that. You traded one of our best prospects. Yeah. Well, you know, it worked out, right?
Yeah, it worked out, I think. It would have worked out a lot more if he'd been able to play a whole season.
It would have. Yeah, that's the unfortunate part. All right, Rich Thompson. I know I told you I was going to end this, but Rich Thompson. Dear Chad and Chris, I have an idea rather than a question for this week's edition of Red Leg Nation Viewer Mail. On a few occasions, you've referenced a Red Leg Nation softball team. I propose that once we come out of this age of COVID, that fans and followers, all three of you, of Red Leg Nation and RedsMinorLeagues.com, gather one weekend somewhere near Cincinnati to play a game of softball and catch a Reds game. We may not be able to celebrate the Reds having a successful season, but we can celebrate our continued passion for them collectively. As always, thanks for providing a fun and smart place to stop in and reflect with the Reds. All right, I'm with you, man. That sounds great.
Let's play at Prasco Park.
Oh, we can play at the Ketchup Factory.
Yeah.
Chuck Nichols, all right, last question here. Chuck Nichols, hey, Chad, what media platform do you watch your favorite soccer team on? Since baseball season's over, I'm looking for another sport to watch. Peacock. I subscribe to the Peacock streaming service. I did. I subscribed so that I could watch Tottenham Hotspur. Can you believe this nonsense?
Sorry, I just destroyed my entire podcast studio. You're not watching them on Quibi?
See, you're making a joke, but I literally subscribe to Peacock to watch Tottenham Hotspur.
I think I signed up for something with them, and I get an email every day. What's on Peacock? And I've yet to read any of those emails.
There's nothing else. Well, the only thing on Peacock other than Premier League soccer is they got a lot of Alfred Hitchcock movies, which is always good.
Ooh, okay.
Other than that, nothing else. All right, last one's not a question, but it is a comment from Joey Gaditza. Not so much a question, rather, I sure love being part of the Online Reds family. You guys are all awesome. This small slice of Canada loves you. Go Reds always. Thank you, Joey. Appreciate that. Fantastic. Chris, final thoughts. We've gone long again.
That's a great way to leave it right there.
It is. I agree. I'm not going to say all the stuff I usually say. I'm going to just say thank you all so much for being here and joining us. If you've just stuck around this long, for Chris Garber and MC Hammer, this is Chad Dotson saying so long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio from RedLegNation.com. Subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app. And join us for discussion of all things Reds at RedLegNation.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.